Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 191 for April 20th, 2009. Corked. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get two free books. Go to audible.com/twit2 and follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. And by GoToMeeting, the affordable way to meet with clients and colleagues. For your free 30-day trial, visit gotomeeting.com/twit. And by squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/twit. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 191, in which we talk about all things tech, social networking, the web, 2.0, 3.0. Joining us today in studio, John C. Dvorak, of Channel Dvorak.
ChannelDvorak.com.
And I can work the mic like this, too, because this is one of those.
Would you please? This is one of those mics where you work it.
I can work it.
Yeah, and it sounds really good when you do that. John was in, you've been traveling around. You were in Washington State last week, and you're going to Amsterdam? What are you going to Amsterdam for?
Queen's Day. I know. That's what I said.
Amsterdam has a queen. Is it Queen Beatrice?
I don't know. I can never keep track. But yeah, something like that. But they have this big party on the last day of April, which is called Queen's Day. And I have to go to Amsterdam to visit with the software company anyway.
So why not
go
on Queen's Day?
Let's go on Queen's Day. And all the Dutch said, yeah, that's when you should come.
Can I give you some chocolate to give Beatrix? Because she loves chocolate.
I don't think I'm going to meet her.
You're not? It's her day.
Well,
doesn't she like ride amongst the populace on a horse?
If she does, I don't know.
I thought she was supposed
to. We'll find out. But all I know is that apparently it's just like 124 hours of just people drinking in the streets. And what's interesting is that everybody puts everything up that they have for sale out on the street. And everybody sells all their household stuff.
So it's kind of like spring cleaning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, spring day. Also here from Vancouver, British Columbia. We're really thrilled to have her back. Lisa Bettany, mostlylisa.com.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
It's hot in the studio today.
It is really a little toasty, and I apologize. We've had some really hot days in the studio last summer, and I have air conditioning. But, you know, it gets stuffy.
Yeah.
So you can aim the fan at you.
I have aimed the fan.
You know, it kind of looks, you have the model. She has the model look going. The hair's blowing. Did you plan that?
Maybe.
Smile for the camera. Love the camera, baby. Also here, we're really pleased for the first time, Shira Lazar.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here.
ShiraLazar.com. Shira, how would I describe what you do?
I describe it a hybrid journalist crossover personality. Some people call me a social media maven. Everyone...
You're an interesting cousin. We talked about this a couple of tweets ago where people are going to J school all of a sudden. You study broadcasting.
Yeah.
And you got out of school, and broadcasting is completely different from everything it was.
Yeah, even a few years ago, and I was like, do I want to either work at local news stations to pursue what I love? And I'm like, no, I don't want to be in the middle of nowhere reporting about murders.
That's what you have to do. You have to work your way up.
Well, yeah. That was the old model, but then I was in Los Angeles, and it happened that a lot of websites at the time were starting up, and I was like, let me host your video content. Let me translate your content into video, then also sites that already had video.
You're a new class of person, and Justine is one. Lisa is another. Your web personalities.
Yeah, but I also have, in the midst of continuing online, have been in traditional media and hosted shows on TV with NBC and DirecTV.
So you've done real stuff.
So I've done... Well, that's the thing. I feel like...
Oh, boy, did I say that? Oh, my God. Oh, ding, 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 ding. I'm sorry,
that's
Leo.
The
you're going to...
It's like as much
bad,
as people...
Bad,
wait,
Leo.
As much as people say TV is dead and everything, there's still credibility when people...
No, it's true.
So
real
on NBC,
media.
And it's like, elections. Oh, but you're saying that's all online. But
you'd think I'd know better than
back
that.
Back the buzzwords of the TV...
Well, you know, they say brands. The same thing about the newspapers. And everybody will admit this. Even though the newspapers are dying, you could have a blog with 2 million readers on a daily basis, and something gets printed in the newspaper, and it has more impact
on the city
government.
So what do you say to people that it's such hypocrisy in terms of saying that old or traditional media is dead, but then there's credibility in it? I think we all need to, in the end, work together. Like, for me, I say I'm in the audience business. So, well,
Wait a minute. Let me get my head around
that.
I'm in the audience business.
Well, I spoke about that at food camp with someone, and I go, it's not about being against TV or being against online. Like, although online is my love and that's where I want to be.
So you're saying, I don't care where the audience, what distribution means, I create. See,
where
I always said I'm in the
I'm in the
content business. You say you're in the audience business. That's a very interesting distinction.
And
do you not think content is important?
I do think content is important.
But which comes first? Do you say audience comes
first? No, I don't think so. But I think that in terms of engagement, it's about engaging people.
Right.
And
no,
so
I understand.
To make it work, not only just online. Like, I'm not about excluding the TV world, like, and alienating them. I'm about, if I have an online web series, I'm going to find a way to engage the TV world as well. Like, maybe that's my marketing side coming in. So if I have a web show, I'll find a way to be a feature contributor on a TV network.
Right. I actually caution a lot of
convergence.
Young people say, oh, I'm in this so that I can get into mainstream media, to say, don't worry so much about mainstream media. I probably said that to you, Lisa, right?
I mean, yeah, I think it's about finding your niche on the internet. And I mean, like, I've tried for years to make it in mainstream as an actor, as a model, and, you know, just being beaten down from that and going into, like, internet stuff. But I've always kept sort of, you know, some bit of myself in mainstream, like with my the work I'm doing for the Vancouver Province, like with a newspaper.
You still write for a newspaper.
Yeah. And
I still do a radio show. I mean, we're all still doing some mainstream media.
As much as we're, pioneers of, I say, new media, and we understand it and want to be there.
But is that because this stuff is still hanging around, or because we really genuinely need to be part of it?
There's more money there.
Oh, the money part.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fact. I still get paid more for being on TV than being online. But I think there's something about the conversation is different online. It's so much more exciting.
That's what I think. I love the interactivity.
Besides that, it's like online has always been there for me. When you're off air, you continue your presence online. But that's on air, too. You know, it's that you're continuing the life and your brand and your...
Lisa, do you do the newspaper stuff to make a living?
No, they have no money.
Well, the province never has.
It's almost like they're folding and they're sort of hiring more people like myself to come in and do these sort of little videos to pull people online.
Yeah, I sometimes feel sorry for people your age and Shira's age, because you're coming in at the tail end of this stuff.
Yes, but it's an exciting time, too. I mean,
there's opportunity as well.
Like with my photography, it's sort of... You know, before, maybe I'd put my pictures up in a gallery and I'd have, 100 people see it. But I post it on Flickr and I get, 20,000 people to see my work and get, and have this sort of online portfolio of my work. And I think that's really exciting.
That's something you and I have always talked about, John, that the dirty little secret of mainstream media is the numbers are low. I mean, 20,000 people watching you on Flickr is a lot, even compared to mainstream.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The radio scene is definitely the case, especially local radio.
Yeah.
This broadcast, if you want to call it that, of yours here, this thing, Twit, as it were, probably has 10 times the audience you would have if you were just
on a local station,
a KGO or something, especially on a Sunday.
The numbers on this show are the same as my national radio show, which is in 61 markets and on XM and in Canada. So that gives you some idea.
Why are people... I feel like there's credibility and legitimacy there, but why is there still kind of a bit of a...
Stuff's just hanging. It's the old... It just takes a while to die. It's people haven't gotten over that.
I think it's because... I think it's more than that. I think it's because it's diluted.
Web media.
Yeah,
web media is
there's just too many schmucks that are just trying to do it, and they a lot of amateurs, and it's a smoke screen.
That's probably hurt podcasting in the sense that most of the time when you listen to a podcast, it's really bad.
Yeah.
So the assumption is, well, a podcast is going to be bad.
It's
media.
Not that many slick podcasts or anything.
But that's what has happened is the democratization of the media, and I think we think that's a good thing, right? Because it means anybody can have a voice and everybody gets a chance.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it really a good thing that everybody has a voice? I'm not so sure.
Well, you're creating... Well, I think it's going to make the people... It's going to weed out... The people that are making money are the professionals. And the people around them are the ones that will be saying, it's like the commenters on blogs, but it happens that they have video. And then
we should get Andrew Keen on, because he's the guy who wrote the book, The Cult of the Amateur, and that's exactly what Keen says. Although he's changed his tune just
I'm only partial. I'm a little flexible in this thinking. And I was just thinking about, and in fact, the comment thing that she just mentioned is interesting, because if you look at today's media, it's actually dominated by the reader. If it's done right, there are more. For every column inch that you have written on a blog or any place else, you should have something like 20x as much commenting. I mean, in other words, you write this much, and then the comments down to China, and then the comments become part of the text.
That's right,
because people look at the comments.
That's new. That's new media,
and so it's actually, you know, so there's been user created, which is the true citizen journalism in that regard, and. It skewed everything, because in the olden days, if you had a newspaper and you ran a letter to the editor, you know, first you'd have to fight to get your letter printed. Mm-hmm. And then when it did get printed, there was only like six of them printed out of the thousands they probably get. Well, of course, they probably don't get that many, because then nobody knows they're going to ever get printed. As opposed to new media, which has all the comments generally, except for the few that you moderate out. And it skews the way people relate to the product. But it also makes – I think it also cheapens the product in some way, because it's not as, you know, as focused and slick, but I kind of prefer it myself.
And I feel like modern day journalism or hosts or personalities, I look at it more as becoming a moderator of that. So you're
moderator of the community, of the audience. So that's why you say focus on the audience, not content, because the audience is the content.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's interesting. Like, a lot of times I say, I'm a host. That sounds weird, but I'm like, because I a lot of
you,
things
you host
I do,
community,
but I host a community.
Well, that's an interesting. And I like that way of looking at it.
I think of it as definitely kind of opposite. Like, it's about the content. You produce good content and then screw everything else.
But the world continues. The conversation continues, because there's more than just your content. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just say, "Oh, sorry, this is all it is," then you're putting yourself in a box. But then you say the conversation continues beyond. And I feel like it leaves it to infinite possibility.
Why don't you care about the conversation afterwards, Lisa?
Well, I do, but it's the way I feel about my blog now is I spend all this time creating this content that I believe in, that I'm passionate about, and then I get some jerk saying, like,
right.
You suck.
You
but it's
suck.
About, all right, well, you have one of those. Right. You have one every once in
but
a while.
We all do. That's
it's not just one of them, though. It's the
maybe
sheer mass.
You need to engage more quality followers now.
So I just got a note from Adam Curry, who apparently is listening to the show as we speak.
Oh, cool.
His comment, oh, brother.
Oh, no.
He's just jealous. How many people listen to his show? That's all. He's just jealous.
Hey,
you were, I know. You were, and it's a good thing you do. You were at Foo Camp, yeah. Shira Lazar.
What is Foo Camp? What is,
well, that's,
and how come
does.
It's Friends of O'Reilly's?
Friends,
is that what his name?
I'm Friends of O'Reilly.
Were you invited,
Leo? I did not meet him.
Apparently not his friend.
You're not his friend, but you're like within the neighborhood.
Well, that's, okay, now you're trying, see, you do this to me, John, and then I get in trouble. John, see, we've worked together a long time.
Yeah.
John tries to play on my petty, resentful side. He tries to bring out the petty, resentful
that's
Leo.
It's funny say that, but it's not true. I'm trying to get the facts out. You know, why does a guy, he's like right down the street from you, he's in Sebastopol, as a matter of fact, he knows you exist. I've had him on my...
It's not like him inviting, like he's personally...
Actually, in this case, it wasn't, but okay, let's face it, he's never invited me to Foo Camp.
He's never
invited
me.
Really?
No.
We need to get you invited.
You know who he invited this time? Julia Allison.
Ooh.
Now I'm hurt. But it was Dave Morin and Dave.
Dave Morin from Facebook.
Dave Recordin.
Dave Recordin, who used to be at Six Apart.
Yeah. And so it was their camp. This is Social Web Foo. How many people were there?
Social 150 people.
There was 150 people, and you weren't invited.
You know what? Really, the only time that I felt a little twinge, because I can't go anyway, I'm doing this. But the only time I felt a little twinge was when I saw a tweet from somebody saying, "We're all discussing the future of internet television right now. This is exciting."
Oh, I said that. I remember that.
It was her.
Maybe you should get some more followers, Leo.
Maker.
You're trying to get me back.
No. Yeah, you just put up the URL on the now. Anyway.
Okay.
Social Web Foo Camp, it started out more as developers and engineers, and I think with social media, they brought us all together. So it wasn't just the engineers and the developers. It was journalists and content creators.
You know, what was there was interesting was the director of citizen participation for the Obama White House.
Oh,
did you
my
see
God.
Her?
She did a whole thing on like what they're trying to do with social media. And it's amazing.
What are they
to
trying
see.
To do?
Well,
get reelected.
I mean, the thing is, well,
they've been running for reelection since they got elected.
Oh, yeah, they created a great community during the election.
A Greek?
A great community.
Oh, okay.
It's, Could have been. But
it's the Pinot speaking. Don't blame her. This is good Pinot. I'm liking this.
Yeah, it's good
the Pinot.
Good,
it's the heat. It's my cold. So, but it's about
you don't have a cold,
that.
Do you?
All right, let's talk about.
How come she doesn't have a pop screen?
She doesn't need a pop screen. She's a trained professional. Neither does Lisa Bettany. It's just you and me, the old men.
I'm getting.
Hey.
Here.
I have to keep us from drooling on the
about.
That's not a pop screen. It's a drool
it's
guard.
A drool catcher.
Let me tell you about the government and what they're doing.
Please do. Thank you.
Okay, guys. So during the election, we know they created a community. They established it, but it was all. Really, all of us that maintain that. But now it's like, now that he's elected, like, what do they do? And it's crazy because
I think we raised a good question, which is it all just about getting reelected? Is it really about democracy? Are they listening?
All of us, the fact
or is it just about getting people to say, yeah, well.
Free help and then just keep begging for more money.
Well, that's what I do. What's wrong with that, John? That's the basis of this business.
Backing him so
yeah,
he can
but he's
implement
got the
things that
the U.S. government.
Well, wait a second. To implement the things he wants to implement, he needs all of us backing him. So it's about
aren't you
the
Canadian?
Now too. Yeah, I
we should
vote.
Say that both Lisa and Shira are Canadian nationals. So that gives them
zero. They're objective.
They're
from Canada. How can that be?
Wait. So the problem with the government, what's going on online right now? They hired the guy that used to be a Facebook. I don't know if you saw the Fast Company magazine, the last issue, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He's like 25. He used to be, in his 20s.
I'm trying to remember his name, and it's escaped
me.
Scott
look it up online.
Cook.
Have another sip of wine.
Steve Chen. Steve Chen.
You. So.
See, John is a disturber.
Oh my God, you're making me like get heated up here. So
there you go. Now we got it. Now we're getting somewhere.
It's like 88 degrees in the studio. It's not your
very hot.
They have their main government site, but then they have all these like. All these other sites for other initiatives, and I feel like they need to have it under one banner, like one home, and then saying like,
well, change.gov, is that the main site?
They have that, then they have like supposedly like a cultural exchange site, and the problem is when you create all these different homes, people think it's just random people creating them, and they're just like really bad websites.
Right.
Whereas they're like, oh, it's the government site, and we realize they're trying to do outreach, and you respect it a bit more, but instead they create these like independent homes where you just feel like they're random sites being created by random people, and you don't end up engaging.
The government's always had that problem, though, with this kind of fragmentation. So she's saying, this is my job, is to pull it all together?
Well, she's not saying that. She was like, help me. And then I was like, why don't you have one big hub for it all?
Well, they have a CTO now. There is an official CTO, and I care...
Yeah, it's the guy from Virginia.
He was the Virginia's chief of technology.
Something Chopra.
Yeah,
and did she talk about him at all? I mean,
no.
That was just announced.
But they need engineers. There's no money. They need people to help. So
they're asking the community. They're asking the social web community.
Yeah,
how
do we get the
in.
Word out to get people
well, that's
involved?
Cool.
Well, you go to recovery.gov, I guess is one of their key sites. And
that's the problem, John. It's recovery.gov, change.gov. It's everything, right?
There's
too many.
And nobody goes to any of them, let's face it.
Well, you know,
the other problem is, I got to a website.
You get
God.
The gaming of it. Remember that on change.gov, they asked what should President Obama's first agenda item be? And of course, the Internet gamed it and it was legalized marijuana,
which maybe that's a fact.
I think legalizing marijuana
should be done.
Well, I agree, but is it the first thing he should do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say, it's great.
That way the whole country.
Wouldn't that be funny? Hey, thank you for electing me, and by the way, pot is legal. You go smoke. Everybody, you thought it was
and
Cheech and Chong.
And now let's talk about the other stuff.
Yeah, really. Like, it's not Barack, it's Cheech.
I think this is the problem.
Is that your Barack voice?
That was my Cheech.
It's not bad.
I think social media is kind of run amok.
Clearly, this show it's run
she's
amok.
She's kind of like the naysayer today.
No, you know she's like.
I am.
She brings us all to reality.
Focus in.
She's a buzzkill.
Sorry.
Come on.
I just think that, I mean, just in my own stuff, like fragmenting everything has just pulled me away from what's actually important. And I think that can be said about anything when you're. When you don't have a strong core and everything's sort of like...
I do have to say, using all the Twitter and all the friend feed and stuff, I'm starting to feel a little bit...
Scattered.
Yeah. You forget.
Do we all feel that way?
No, because I don't do half of this stuff. I focus on... I use Twitter, I do my blog, and I do these podcasts.
Give it time. You will become more ADD over time.
No, it's not going to happen. I've already... I just can't... I don't have enough hours in the day.
Sherry, you know, if your website were running on Squarespace, I don't think you'd be having these problems. Shira, you got to try Squarespace. Shira is, you know, a perfect example. Whenever you run a website, you assume a certain amount of traffic. But what if all of a sudden you get wildly successful? What if your blog gets dug or slash dotted? What if we mention it on Twit Live? What if, you know, you suddenly are a star? Then how does your website respond? If it's squarespace.com, no problem. No problem. Squarespace uses an amazing cloud-based architecture for speed and stability. You don't host it, they do. They're using some very sophisticated Java implementations and some virtual servers that allow them to throw bandwidth online with a flip of a switch. They never run out, so you never run out. So you're going to love Squarespace for a lot of reasons. It's easy to design a site. Their Ajax allows you to kind of drag and drop your design. Great templates to start with. Easy import for WordPress, Blogger, Movable Type, and Typepad, and export too. If you decide you want to leave, you're not going to want to, though. There's a forum. There's a photo gallery. There's form builders. There's Google Maps, Search Engine Optimizer, on and on and on. I use Discuss as my comment system, although they have a very good comment system themselves. I'm just tired of Discuss. It was easy, just a couple of lines, and boom, I've got it. Squarespace, it's the modern way to blog, to have a website, optimized for beginners and experts. If you know CSS, you could tweak to your heart's content. But this is an example. You now, if you don't have a web person, now you've got a web person. Squarespace.com. Let them be your web person. Try it right now, absolutely free. This is the best way to do a trial. No credit card, no sign up, nothing. You just go, well, you create a login, but you don't have to give them any other information. Squarespace.com/twit. You could set up a site. You get 2 weeks to really play with it, get a sense of it. If you decide to stick around, use twit as the coupon code. You'll save 10%. I have been so impressed with Anthony and the gang, Dane, everybody over at Squarespace. They know their stuff. They're gung-ho. They want to do the best damn website in the world, and they've done it. This is the best hosting everywhere, anywhere. I just love them. I want you to try it right now. Squarespace.com/twit. Now you got web people. So, Lisa, you share my kind of feeling that this
I
is...
I do, I do. I mean, recently Twitter's not making me as happy as it once.
Okay,
and
is that because the celebrities came in.
Let's talk about the big
down?
Story, Ashton Kutcher. Ashton is the elephant in the room. We might as well admit it. How do you feel about it?
Oh, we're not going to talk about Twitter. I promised that I would make a stink.
It's the okay. Well, look,
more publicity?
It's the single biggest story of the week.
Yeah, we need to.
Oprah's on
How
Twitter.
Is that the, wait a minute.
I want to get him on story? This guy. I
get who on.
James.
Oh, James will call in. Did you
sure?
send him the...
I did. I DM'd him, but okay. He's on the road, so I don't know if he got
Study
it.
Study links lower grades to Facebook, to me, is a bigger story.
All right, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I got it right here. It's from K-State Collegian.
By the way, fans out there, you can thank me.
Oh, you're just egging them on. You know, you just want me to get more mail from people saying, oh, this Twitter's got to stop. It was a big story. You can't deny it was a big story this week.
I deny it.
So what... All right.
Oh, you're going on topic again.
I'm sorry, but I just want to know what you think, because you are...
Thank you.
I think it stinks.
All right, so that's exact. I just want... Because I also felt like it was a bit narcissistic. I mean,
well, you actually know him.
I've worked with Ashton, and I think he's done a lot of fun, great stuff, and brought the kind of the mainstream community to tech. Do tech people want that? Not really sure about that.
That's what kind of cracks me up is it does look a little bit like the tech people are going. It's the same feeling that when, remember when AOL added internet access and all of a sudden all these people who had been locked in this walled garden at AOL were suddenly on the internet. And it was the summer, they call it the summer of AOL. I can't remember what year it was, maybe 95 or 96.
Something like that.
And it was a big
Probably
deal
six.
Because all of these exclusive snobby elitists who had it to themselves. We all have Twitter to ourselves, and all of a sudden, oh my God, Oprah's using Twitter. It feels a little bit like
that's
that.
Really, pretty much your attitude.
I for one welcome our mainstream media overlords.
Do you feel like they should sell now? Because it's like
now's the time. There's
okay,
no
now
better.
I got to try strategy two to get us back on a real topic.
We're going to get to the studies.
All right, let's go.
No, we're going to get to that. But I think this is. I'm sorry. This is a real topic. It is a real topic.
A real topic in any way, shape, or form.
This was the biggest story of the week.
Well, here's one reason. Oprah got, she just opened up an account. She got 256,000 instantly. When Oprah shows up on television, she has tens of millions.
Well, there you go. That's a story. Then it's a fraction of her.
Yeah, I like to just. Nothing.
That really shows how many people in the world are using Twitter. Meaning Twitter is not still like a micro.
I wonder what it is about Twitter that generates so much conversation. That's what I like to know. I think it's a functional good thing to do use and for whatever for a lot of different reasons. But exactly why it creates so much of this, gazing at your own navel kind of
it is a lot of that.
Conversation about it. Wow, you know,
isn't that what blogs are? Well, Lifecast.
When's the last time you talked about blogs? The way you talk about Twitter.
I do. I tell people I blog. I video blog.
I think the art of blogging is dead.
Is it?
Well,
what killed blogging?
Twitter. There she goes again. She's better than me at this.
She's always like the devil's advocate.
I think that's great, actually.
We have a girl in the corner. I'm going to go kill myself.
Dvorak's dead. Lisa Bettany is now the new Dvorak.
Yeah. I feel a bit beaten down, I guess, lately, and because my blog was my thing.
You loved your blog.
Like I came.
She changed the design, and that's what changed her.
She took the cute girl pictures off.
But I didn't want to be the cute girl.
I agree.
Girl.
I think
What do you mean you agree? Nobody else does.
I know. I was the one who told her to do it. I feel bad.
Now you know, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I don't get... Tell people what happened because I don't...
I have a master's degree in linguistics. Like, I don't come from this background at all, but I love tech and I love new media. And I just said, I'm just going to start a blog. And I started a blog and, you know, all of a sudden I got recognition and I got to the position where I could be on these shows and meet these people. And it was inspiring and it was great. And my blog was sort of thriving. And then sort of the negative stuff came, the trolls came. And, oh, come on.
How much, this
the negative stuff, I think it's, we take ourselves too seriously.
Though. I do want to talk about trolls, though, because I think trolls.
Can we do one or two news stories first?
Yeah.
I'll listen to you.
Here's two conflicting news stories. You picked one,
all right, so let's
which was a Kansas State study that says that, and by the way, even the people who did the study say, we can't say that the use of Facebook leads to lower grades and less studying, but we did find a relationship. They surveyed Kansas State students, not a huge survey, 209 students. I'm sorry, at Ohio State.
Yeah, not Kansas State.
Including 102 undergraduates and 117 graduate students. 85% of undergrads, 52% of grad students had a Facebook account. Survey said undergraduates using Facebook have GPAs an average of 1.5 to 1 point lower than non-users. Now, that's not causality.
What about the educators or the teachers? Like, are they having anything to do with this?
Time dedicated to studying was also reduced.
What about the grander, bigger picture of this? It's like,
you're a Facebook defender, too. Well, of course, you're
Dave Morin's friend.
No, but I just feel
she's
like...
She's a friend of O'Reilly, so she has to say whatever they told her.
She was bunking with Dave Morin this week.
You were bunking with him?
I was in an RV with the Facebook crowd. No, but I was also...
Well, there's a joke there somewhere. I'm not going to go there.
Anyway, the fact is, I feel like you always, it's like cell phones. Everything causes cancer, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. This is not, correlation does not prove causality. And.
So you're in denial.
I just love life. I always look for the positive.
I like Facebook.
I'm glass half full.
I like Facebook.
No, I'm kidding. No, but I just think that we have to look at the bigger picture.
But get ready for this.
Okay.
Study two. Teenagers who don't get their daily fix of daily networking sites are prone to becoming stressed and short-tempered.
That's true.
The study by Yahoo.
That's her.
Showed that a third of 16 to 24-year-olds who did not have access. Now, just ask yourself, kids. Kids who are listening right now. If you did not have access to Facebook, Bebo, MySpace, how would you feel? Would you suffer from more anxiety? Would you have more emotional strain? 71% of participants say they felt cut off from daily life. 70% said they felt unable to manage a balanced lifestyle without Facebook.
Wow.
What do you think?
Sick.
Yeah.
I think these people should go seek counseling.
Welcome to the new
age,
my
friend. They have to go cold turkey.
But I would get a little stressed if I couldn't Twitter.
If you couldn't, there's so much else
to do.
And I would feel that way if I was cut off from the internet.
Okay.
Because that's my news source.
Then you're an you engage, you're like not a first person adapter. What's it called?
Early adopter.
Early adapter. Adopter. I mean.
No. You know what the thing is? So maybe. These people, the internet for them is Facebook, MySpace.
That's the thing.
So you have a broader internet experience. Yeah. So what you're saying is, nice pour, by the way. That's very well done.
I'm not. I'm just really hot.
I'm hot, too. Let's down these.
All right. So I just want to say, there is a certain sense. Like, yesterday I lost my phone, and I'm like, I'm a bit freaking out. But the fact is, we should be able to live without this stuff. We should be able to take time out over a weekend and be disconnected.
How did that feel, though? You were actually very connected because you were at social media.
Yeah, I felt like weird being, and I also lost my N95 on Friday, which I do all my video blogging from. I can't find it. And yeah, there's a...
You lost your phone and your N95?
Well, I found my BlackBerry, but the N95 I can't find. But there is a sense of feeling a need to keep up, and I think that's the stress right now. Things will pass you by, and then you're non-existent if you don't update. So you lose.
See, I think we got to the root of it here. I think that's exactly right.
But do you feel
we define ourselves via the internet, via our presence online?
But do you feel like, I mean, you have the mix of actual sort of mainstream stuff where you're creating content and doing that kind of thing. And I mean, there's something a little bit hollow about talking about yourself as opposed to creating something original.
I have something to say about that, and I think the people that will survive through this in terms of not just being like an ego blogger and all that are the people that do the PR, do the buzz, and show a bit of their life, but you always need to balance that out with content. Mm-hmm. And I try to step back a lot.
I agree.
I do. I don't know what you think.
You know what? I've worked with in TV for a long time, in media, real media, for a long time. And one of the things that I always told the young people that are coming to me and starting out their careers, and this was Kevin Rose, this was, a lot of people.
The people you've mentored.
The people I've mentored. And one of the first things I said to them
the
is...
The first thing you notice, they never give you any stock.
I don't care. I don't want stock.
I'm sure you do.
I just want the respect and love.
Oh, there you go.
Of the people who follow in my footsteps.
I can't find any of the chat rooms. I can't get on
any.
Really?
IRC.twit.tv.
They don't want you on there.
Or Facebook. There's a Twit Conversations room there, too. But what I always tell them is, and I think that this is the only way to survive that shallow, deep trench that is television, is do not focus on chasing the audience. Do not focus on your hair or your good looks. Do not focus...
Well, that's no problem with me.
Yeah. Well, look at me and Patrick. Obviously, we weren't focusing on that. What I said is you focus on serving your audience, giving your every moment serving your audience. Don't think about ratings. Don't think about anything but serving the audience, and all the rest follows from that. If you give them content, and it's, it saves you. I learned this from acting. I'm trying to remember the wonderful acting book that I read. She said, any good actor comes not from ego, not from, comes from something, a deep belief, deeply held beliefs that they are trying to, their core values they're trying to express. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same in any performing art, in television, radio, media, new media. They're all performing arts, that it has to come from core values and the desire to serve the audience. And if you do that, then you don't get eaten alive by all this stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that's really important too. I mean, and that's what happened to me is... I received a bit of, attention, and then I started pandering.
Yes.
I knew the...
It's very hard not to. And this is... I especially tell this to young ladies like Morgan Webb, who that's very tempting because they're all of a sudden, you're so pretty, you're so gorgeous. And you start to say, yeah.
It wasn't so much in that, but I knew what topics they wanted to talk about. I knew how to guide them to
chase the audience.
There's a complete rebellion here over the your previous life.
No, she chased the audience, and that's what everybody wants to do.
But it's the balance between chasing the audience and creating engagement. So creating it's like when you invite.
But it can't be phony engagement. It can't be.
No, it can't be.
How do I tune myself so that they'll like me better? It has to be, this is what I have to say, this is what I have to give, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to you the best way I can. And if you don't like it, okay, I'm maybe not famous and successful, but I'm going to speak with my honest voice.
That's the difference between you and me, Leo, because I respect the audience. I don't try to get confrontational. I do what they want. I'm the nice, that's why I'm...
That's such bull.
That's what you want to do. You want to give the audience exactly what they want. You don't want to be contrarian.
But you create the need. You can also create the need.
John is being sarcastic because he's the most contrarian columnist out there. But John, I do have to say something.
But I got her. She was
fooled. You fooled Shira.
Yeah, she was jumping in on it.
But I do have to say that in a way, though, you're paying attention to the audience because you're pushing their buttons. Mm. You intentionally push their buttons.
Are you a manipulative communicator?
Yeah.
No, not at all. Not in fact, not in the least. I'm probably one of the most honest, sincere people that you'll ever meet.
I think that's what
that
it's
may
about.
Be true. You know, I actually would give John that. I will give you that, not in the way that you mean, but I think I would give you that. You're honest. You don't give a fig,
as it were,
what people
keeping it a family.
What people say about what you say.
I think ultimately,
I'm going to interrupt you there because actually what he brought up is something that Lisa brought up, and I'm going to wrap it around, which is the thing about getting over the fact, especially with new media, that people are going to come on and call you a jerk and an idiot, and
you have to get over that because they're going to do that.
And the only way that you then you actually will feed them if you try to take them on. Yeah. Although there's other ways of doing it, especially if you're the moderator, you can just change what they say and make them look like idiots, which is what we like to do. And but it's unfair. But generally speaking, you have to get used because of this the nature of the business being now it's the audience is bigger than the whatever the publication is, and so they're
we give them power.
They've got way more power than they ever used to have, and you got to get used to the fact you're going to get a lot of abuse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But how do you deal with that, Lisa? I could tell it hurts you.
Well, it did, and that's why I started pandering, because I was very sarcastic and my first article in the province, I took on Perez Hilton and just said how he was giving bloggers a bad name because he's just producing this kind of trash, but people love it. And I just received so much hate mail from it.
You backed off.
And then I said, okay, I'll just be nice. And from my previous experiences coming on this show, that I've played that.
No more nice, Lisa.
I think it's about being engaged and creating a conversation. That's what this is all about. All these tools we've created and have been given to us are to create a conversation and worldwide communication and a global community. And I think it's awesome. Like, it's like you're at a dinner table. And wouldn't it suck if we
probably
all thought the same way?
Probably with a bunch of other food people, right? The dinner that we won't get invited to, me and Leo.
Not now, we won't.
We weren't going to be anyway. You might as well burn the bridge.
I look at it as I love meeting people. I love having conversation. And this is just through what I do, I can have a global conversation. And talk
sure, have you ever had trolls? Have you ever had negative comments?
Do.
Have you
I
ever
do.
Had?
Even on this, I'm reading the chat.
Do you know all the crap that Lisa got for
what
a long
saying?
Time?
Why did you get? I don't get. You see, it's hard for me because I watch people like. I haven't seen like possibly you, and then there's Julie Allison and some people.
Julia gets a lot of crap.
There's some women out
Julia
there.
Julia is stalked
and
by bloggers on Tumblr.
For me, I look and I'm like, how do I not go there? Or like, I don't know. It's like, how do you navigate that? I'm not sure because I thankfully haven't really gotten that. And I don't know.
I don't know why you haven't.
She will now.
After
doing this show.
maybe they think you're a nice person.
No,
and they don't.
I think ultimately.
Lisa's a nice person. Nobody thought you weren't a nice person.
Well, there's always haters. No, I have people like,
haters.
Oh, why did you say that? Or you're
so.
Whatever.
So Lisa, you, your way of dealing with this was to say, oh, I'm not gonna stir that in hornet's nest again.
Yeah, I mean, I backed off a little, and then I saw David Copperfield, and
the magician,
and I just nailed him again. And
you
I
beat up on David Copperfield.
You did that in a couple of things I've seen.
Yes.
Now, is this the real Lisa? That's the real Lisa.
Well, yeah, I have my opinions, and I'm sarcastic, and I have a dry sense of humor, and
But Canadians are very nice.
Funny, but they have more comedians from Canada than any place.
And singers and artists, and I mean, Canada's a
but ultimately,
it's a miracle.
It's a little miracle to our north.
On my blog, I sort of had this where I wanted to teach people photography and wanted to talk about photography, but then I also wanted to write these snarky posts, and they just don't work.
There were two Lisas.
What, really? I do everything. No, wait a second. Believe in that. I don't believe in that because I think your brand is you, and I think that means some days you might be informative and talk about things that are relevant in what you're doing professionally, and some days that might mean like you just want to talk about life. And I feel like the ultimate, like, if you look at brands like Oprah, I mean, she does a bit of both, and I think those are the ultimate brands.
Yeah, but she has plenty of outlets. She doesn't stick to one outlet.
She's got a magazine, a TV show. I mean, she's got several TV shows.
She produces other people's stuff. She's got reality
show
blogs.
So what do you think versus like niche versus just creating a brand of perspective almost?
You have to do
like
the branding.
Your voice, which means it's not necessarily, I mean, it doesn't mean you're talking about cats one day and technology the next.
I don't think that you have to.
I don't know. Lisa did.
But sometimes that's what look at Twitter. Twitter's allowed you to go there, and that's what's created the engagement.
That's exactly what Twitter does.
Uh-oh,
here we go. Twitter alert.
Oh, come on, John.
I mean, but
I'm telling you, everybody wants me to do this, and that's why I'm here.
Oh, We're not pandering.
You know, I'll bet you I won't even be on the show next week because of my attitude.
We're not pandering, are we?
I think I'm going to get all.
Everybody wants me to do this
conversation.
All right.
Let me do it myself.
Lisa, please. So your reaction after you pandered for a little while, you changed yourself. What changed your mind about that?
Just how it felt. It
wasn't you.
It wasn't me. And I couldn't, like, when I guess the big thing was when I started to come on these live shows and I couldn't maintain that persona.
You can't, can
that
you?
Perfect, because I wanted to be perfect.
No, you
know,
can't.
Just this. And
live is wonderful.
Yourself.
Live TV is wonderful for that, because ultimately radio. I learned this in radio after 30 years. If you can't, you can't lie forever. You have to ultimately become yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what all people want is your authentic.
Well, that
voice.
Reminds me of a Miles Davis story. So before I just bring that up, though, how come I can't get on this thing?
Are you having trouble again?
IRC.twit.tv?
Yeah, and it says choose a nickname, password.
Choose a nickname.
It says connect, and then it says closing link, registration timeout.
Oh, well, you God, just do it faster. Mean, there's too many people in there. You're probably not.
My webmaster said that my site's down. It's going to be up in 30 minutes.
You have no personality now, and you have no brand.
I have nothing.
No, nothing.
I'm not.
You know what it is, John? There's probably so many people in chat, you can't get in there.
Somebody leave now, immediately.
All right, there were some other big stories. In fact, a huge story.
Yep, same thing.
Pirate Bay, court trial
that was crazy.
Concluded with 1 year prison sentences handed down by a Swedish judge, a fine of £2.4 million. That's $3.6 million. The defendants, Pirate Bay co-founders Fredrik Neil, Gottfrid Svartholm Wog, and Peter Sunde Kolmensoppi, said, quote, The judgment was weird and bizarre, and they insist that they cannot pay and will not pay.
They can't pay because they had no money.
They got no money. In a press conference held after the Stockholm court found the four defendants guilty, Peter Sunde Kolmensoppi held up a handwritten IOU to the camera and said, "That is as close as they are going to get from me. Even if I had any money, I would rather." I don't know what accent
this
that is.
This is pretty good, though. I like it.
I'm trying not to do the typical Swedish chef thing. Okay. Even if I had any money, I would rather.
No, it's worse.
I would rather burn everything I own. I'll do the little Ingrid Bergman.
That's it. I like it.
Even if I had any money, I would rather burn everything I own and not even give them the ashes. They could have the job of picking them up. That's how much I hate the media industry.
I don't know what accent that is.
That's Swedish. That is Ingmar Bergman. That is the Swedish.
Hmm.
And that's not all.
Und?
That was
so
German.
So they're completely convinced that they're going to get off.
They put on the front. Well, they didn't get off. It's done. They're going to jail.
Yeah,
well,
once convinced that there's judgment proof. Being judgment proof is what it is. Well,
they can't get the. How are you going to get them? Yeah. And they said, in fact, on the front page of the Pirate Bay, we're not going anywhere. We are the internets.
Yeah. And they'll just move their operation offshore. And
they already have. They did it a while ago.
They're judgment proof. You can't get any money out of them. They're just a bunch of kids. What are you going to do?
Also, once you have a focus on something or it's like that's what you've decided, you can't back down. It's like you're going there, go there.
Is this something you learned at foo camp?
No, I'm just saying in general. It's like
you're
ambition.
Just throwing it in our face.
Foo camper.
Foo camp.
You foo camper.
No, but it's like if you created something and that was your mission and it's like and that's what the site does, if you back down, your users aren't going to respect you and you just...
He said, this is really weird. He compared it to the plot of The Karate Kid. And
of
said,
"He did.
Of course, he did.
We need some white wine."
He said,
"Oh yeah, we need some of that.
All right,
white wine.
Oh my god, in the middle of the pirate story.
I don't care.
Isn't it funny that the pirates, the whole pirate actual news story, happened during this? The real pirates.
Oh, that's an interesting coincidence. I never thought
of. You know, the Somali pirates were kind of angry at Pirate Bay. They said, "They're not pirates. We are the pirates. Why are they calling themselves pirates? They are not pirates.
They're from Barbados.
I don't
now,
care.
Right?
I don't know what it sounds like when you're from Somali. So I'm going to do. I'm going to talk
Barbados.
Like Barbados. Yeah. No, they said they literally. They said the Somali pirates said the Pirate Bay. That's not pirates. We're pirates.
Yeah. Well, good. They can hang like pirates from the yardarm.
Someone says every time someone says Twitter, we have to take a drink or have a.
There is a Twitter drinking game.
Oh, well, then let's get back to the topic.
Topic at hand.
So as part of the Pirate Bay story, they were saying that now this is going to push the sort of torrenting behavior onto Google so that people can now type in Google, you know, XYZ torrent and then find
it. I think the real point after all, is that you can't stop this stuff.
It's going to be happening no matter
what. You cannot stop this stuff. However, these guys can go to jail. And will.
No.
You think they will?
They're standing there in Sweden. What's this? I mean, aren't they going to...
Swedes aren't going to throw them in jail. The Swedes aren't into that.
The Swedish court convicted them.
Yeah, they have a fine.
And a year in jail. Yeah. That was the sentence. Aren't you paying attention, John?
Is it a year in jail? And also, they can't use their laptops or any computers.
I don't know.
They might as well just take away the internet from them. That's jail.
Susan Boyle. Who loves Susan Boyle?
She's inspirational.
She is. That whole thing is an out-and-out scam.
I think it's a fake, too. What do you... Now, tell me this. I didn't tell my wife this.
Well, because shows like that...
They know.
They do auditions.
There's no surprise.
And, yeah, it was ridiculous. And some of those reactions from Simon Cowell were like...
You think not that, but they cut from one to the other, and there's two boneheads in the back. Now, the other thing...
Because it's an edited show.
That's true. They probably ISO everybody. You're right.
A 1999 recording of this woman just surfaced.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. I Twittered it. Oh, I said it. I'm sorry. Well, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. The Real Dvorak? Would that be correct? He has to have a drink. Twitter.com/TheRealDvorak?
Yeah. And you can link to it, and you can hear she sings... I can't remember the name of the song, but it's absolutely better than her voice is now. I mean, it's absolutely...
So, did she have a career singing?
Someone
where is
this
recording?
She's already a recording artist. She looks like she could have been in a music... Like, she's in the musical.
I think they put extra makeup on her.
I think they beetled her eyebrows.
Definitely.
They dumped her down. They dumped... You know, made her...
Dumped her. Made her dumpy.
Dumpy. Yeah. Dumped her down.
And had her goof around, so she looked like some sort of a weird frump. And there was also a recording by her local newspaper, an interview with her, and her hair is nothing like that. It's not like a clown.
So they really dressed,
They went for it, yeah.
Maybe she's, that's part of art, is like dressing up like that.
In this story that I linked to, she's already got a record album done. She's going on Oprah, and she's going to sell a million copies. And Simon Cowell gets a piece of the action.
They're going to Twitter it out.
The whole thing is just...
This is Cry Me a River.
We need to do karaoke, twit karaoke. You should so do whole twit karaoke. Is it?
She's great.
Tell me about it.
This is her?
Yeah.
This is a charity CD she recorded in 1999.
Yeah, she's awesome.
You know why I kind of believe this? Because I watched her, and not only did she sing technically well, she had emotion. She was like a Broadway star. She was Sarah Brightman.
She was trained.
She was completely trained. There was no way this came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know.
Is that terrible for us to do? We're dashing people's hopes.
No, we're not. Whose hopes? She's going to make a lot of money. She sings well.
No, but people like
this. We didn't know her before, so she has her level of success.
No, I'm going to tell you something.
No, he's talking about the hopes.
I'm talking about my wife.
Yeah, you're dashing the hopes of the public that has been suckered into believing this garbage.
Well, all you have to do is Google.
I hate
hello,
shows,
it's not that hard anymore.
But no, I mean, this wasn't that easy to find.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, you didn't see Susan Boyle?
Oh, my God.
25 million views on YouTube in 1 week.
Cable.
No, it's not.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, my God.
You know,
the internet.
The internets are plugged up for her.
She's turning
into Dvorak.
No, she's not. It's beyond me. She's becoming a bitter ex blogger.
I don't have the internet and I don't want the internet. No, it was
a
big.
I don't ever want to see
it. You know, you were sick last week, so that you have an excuse.
It's true. I don't know.
If anything, when you're sick, don't you go on the internet more?
You just had a cold?
Yes, but
Zicam, my friend. Zicam. I want to get a bucket of this stuff. This stuff works great.
It's too bad the show's not brought to you by Zicam, because that would have been
honestly
a great commercial.
just get sick people on your show. Like, you have a cold? Come on the show.
That's actually a good idea. it is, because with Zicam, you won't catch the cold. Seriously.
We could just like... Okay, so after the wine tasting, we'll have a cold tasting.
There's a whole bunch of jokes in that one.
I don't want to do it. So she lives in Scotland. She says, I've never been kissed. She lived with her mother. On Britain's Got Talent. And Simon Cowell is a host. It's very much like American Idol. 25 million views on YouTube. It's in 1 week. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. Everybody was passing this URL around. So she comes out. She's very frumpy. She's got big, thick beetle brows. She's just kind of, you know, I mean, and everybody's going, oh, this is going to be bad. She says, I want to be Elaine Page. And then she sings a song from Les Mis.
That was a squawkier voice, Ed.
I want to be Elaine Page.
Yeah, something. Well, no.
That's my goal in life. I could do it like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, dear, I want to be Elaine Page.
Oh, my God, you've seen that movie way too many times.
I love that movie. It's a great movie. So anyway, what was I saying? So she comes out and she sings a song for all of us. And it's like, wow, it's Sarah Brightman. I mean, it was incredible. And now, okay, you're the TV person. Mm-hmm. Your opinion was when they had those pictures of the judges, like, shocked.
I knew. I already saw it.
Like, totally phony.
I mean, Simon Cowell being like...
And his eyebrows go up at the,
it was
the right
so
moment.
So perfect. It was like, do it right now. And those shows are live to tape. That's how it works. How it works with TV.
They ISO every camera. They record everything.
Yeah, they're shooting every judge. They're shooting. They probably have, what, 10
and
cameras?
And the two clowns backstage.
That are,
I actually like that. We should have that on American Idol.
Really,
we should have it on our show here.
Yeah.
So
can you believe what the just said?
How it works is either you're live, which American Idol is at certain points, you're live, or us.
Yeah, I don't know if this shows, but this was the audition, so it wasn't live.
So it's live to tape, which means
that you huge record it. Packed audience.
You say, you count it down, it's pretty much live to tape, but then you have an edit. So you're doing it nonstop. You're trying not to stop,
right.
So it's easier. And you could easily tell judges to redo something.
Let me
they
ask.
Also know what the reaction that the director wants. And they audition for this. The fact is, the judges and the producers have seen her perform probably at least three times.
Not those judges. Do you think those judges had seen her before?
No, but they hear the buzz of who's coming.
Certainly the producers knew what was coming.
You know, Curry's wife is doing one of these reality shows in Holland.
Is she in it, or is she producing it?
No, she's a singer. She's pretty famous. And she and he's back there all the time. And she's like, this show is hugely popular. It's as big as any of them. And he says that the whole thing is completely rigged.
Oh, they're all rigged.
But that Cowell is the one who probably set the whole thing up. And now that this record's coming out, Cowell, of course, if you do any of these shows, and you as soon as you sign on the dotted line, they get your firstborn.
They own you. They own you.
So they get a piece of the action. So this is just a huge money-making scheme.
And it's buzz. It's the fact is, you know, when you go against the grain and you put someone that you totally don't expect has talent.
But I got it. My wife and I, actually, I found the link. I played it. I went, wow. I said, Jennifer, quick, got to see this.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
Our tears are going down our face. We're going, this thing is amazing.
I was very impressed.
I was blown away. I'm not kidding. I'm admitting this. Both of us are going, oh, my God, that's so beautiful. But afterwards, I thought, this was a little too pat. It was a little too perfect. I would never say this to Jennifer. She would not be happy. She wants to believe this. And that's what I'm saying.
I think it's a disappointment. By the way, the Curry thing is Holland's Got Talent. And somebody just sent me a note saying they want me to say that American Idol's a fraud. So I don't know what.
Well, you know, we're gonna get Waz.
I hate these shows, by the way. So I can jump on that.
We're gonna get Waz on because, you know, he was in Dancing with the Stars.
They signed non-disclosures.
Interesting thing happened. We loved Waz. He was a terrible dancer, but he survived the first cut and he got to the second round. But he was terrible.
He got to the third round too, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he got to the third round. He missed. But anyway, one of the judges at one point said, "This is like a Teletubby dancing. This is not dancing."
Yeah, it was insulting.
Oh,
but
it was scripted.
Well, and that was, now, this was an interesting thing that happened. Waz said, this whole thing is scripted. They're not telling us what the votes are.
Wow.
I know that they saved us for the dance-off, even though I know I have enough votes from the audience to not be at risk. But they wanted me in the dance-off in the first round. He said that, and literally 2 hours later, completely recanted, because, of course, a lawyer comes knocking saying, you remember this thing you signed, Waz? How much are you worth? How much would you like to be worth after we go to court?
Right.
I've got to get Waz on. He probably still can't say anything.
He won't say much. In fact, this started with the Survivor show, because there was a lawsuit, and I talked to the lawyer that was handling it. One of the people in the first Survivor got deathly ill, and some weird thing happened to her, and they had to sue the show to get the money that they were guaranteed.
I remember that,
And the guy telling me, he says, the whole thing, they got all these people on non-disclosures. They won't let you know what's going on. Burnett himself is kind of like backs off of a lot of this, and he says, look, it's not a reality TV show. It's an unscripted drama.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
That's what he calls it.
It's not reality. It's unscripted drama, essentially saying, we're making it up. This is not true.
A lot of the producers I know that work on these shows that edit them, they call them Frankenbites. Because
you're looking for that moment.
You look for that moment, but besides that, they can edit specific words you say into a sentence and put it over B-roll.
Right.
And so if you look at all
It's easier just to have you do it. I mean, if you, like, they would have to have two people, okay, you and Leah are going to be sitting at the table together. Now do something to piss her off, and I want you to throw a glass of wine in his face. Okay, roll.
But you don't even need to say that. It could be from an hour ago.
They can snip it together.
Five hours later, I was just like sitting looking like this, and they can make it like our conversation went awry.
Well, actually, with the Gordon Ramsay shows that had the Hell's Kitchen and some of these things, where they or when he goes in and he fixes the place up, in whatever show that is, Kitchen Nightmares, they would show something. My stepson, Eric, who's the coder, he's one of those guys who sees the microphones and finds stuff out of sequence. Yeah. And why are they wearing the button on this side instead of this side? And it was pointed out that at the end, he was doing the wrap of the show, but they had the old restaurant before they refurbished it.
So he's doing the end at the beginning.
Doing the end at the beginning.
Well, we do that all the time. Well, come on. I do this show. This show was taped 4 months
ago. And that's why your wife... That's why your... Yeah,
This is actually winter. We're pretending
it's 95 degrees
we're dying.
In December.
We're only pretending we're dying.
There's a heater in
it. But a lot of people get into it, and they you know, it's like soap operas.
All right, you guys, just take a break a little bit here. Have a glass of wine or something, because I want to talk about Audible.com, then we'll get back to the non-news. The Twitter stories. More Twitter. All the time. No, I think we're done with the Twitter. But I do want to mention our friends at Audible. Audible.com/twit. Have you ever tried audiobooks? And I want to give you a new URL for the folks who want to do two books. It's audible.com/twit too. I'll tell you about that in a second. Audiobooks, to me, I'm trying to think when I got into them. I think it was when I first started and this was about 13 years ago, my long commute from here to the San Francisco studios, first with MSNBC and then Tech TV. It was an hour each way on a good day, and it could be as long as 2 hours each way. And I'll tell you what, I would have gone crazy if I hadn't had audiobooks. But I just transformed the trip. It made my commute not only tolerable, but something I looked forward to. It was library time. I've read hundreds of books. And I started off first with the little cassettes, you know. And I've moved in 2001. I moved to Audible. And I have never looked back. Audible.com/twit2. Audible.com/twit, the number 2. This is the plan I've been on since 2000. It's called the Platinum Plan. You get 2 books a month. This is for the person who has a long commute or does a lot of time in the gym. It's funny, I don't commute anymore, but I spend an hour a day in the gym. So I still get that library time. And it can be boring on the treadmill or the bicycle, but if you've got that book to listen to, it goes by so fast. Sometimes I'll look up and I go, wow, I'm done. And I'll say, well, let me do another lap because I'm in the middle of the book. I just started a book that was recommended for me. I'm trying to remember if it was Paul Thurrott or Andy Inoko who recommended this, one of our other show hosts, that I am loving. It's a very, very long book. Peter Mathiasen. It's called Shadow Country. It's the history of Florida at the turn of the century. And the dialect that the guy uses, Shadow Country, Peter Mathiasen. Yeah, there it is. The dialect, the guy who's reading this, it's a bravura performance. This, it is amazing. It's a new, they call it a new rendering of the Watson legend. It reimagines the legend of the inspired Everglades sugar planter and notorious outlaw E.J. Watson. I'd never heard of him. Maybe if you're from Florida, you have. But what a cast of wild characters. Let me just play a little bit of... I can't. I don't have the... Do me a favor. Do this. Go to audible.com. You could do this yourself. Go to audible.com/twit2. Sign up for the Platinum account. And then this could be your first book. I think this might be 2 credits because it's 40 hours. It's a little long. But see, I like long books. 40 hours. That was 2 weeks in the car. This will take me a month to get through on the treadmill. But, oh, man, is this stuff great. I am just digging it. Peter Mathiasen, it's one of those books that, it's a time and a place it evokes. If you go there, you can listen to it yourself. They have previews, little samples of it. And this could be yours free. It's normally $48. It's free. Shadow Country. This is one of those books you're going to get engrossed in. And the reader, Anthony Heald, is absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I just love it. So give it a try. Here's the deal. Audible.com/twit2. You get the Platinum account, 2 books. You get 2 credits a month. You also get free subscription to the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times daily. You get a I didn't know this. I haven't been mentioning this. I'm just seeing here. You get a free subscription to the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times daily audio programs and two books. This offer is good in the U.S. and Canada. And it is just wonderful. I am a big fan. Give it a try. Would you do me a favor? And if you're looking for a book, there's 50,000 titles, but if you're looking for a book, try Shadow Country by Peter Mathiasen. Amazing. Audible.com/twit2. You get two free audiobooks, two credits toward a free book, and then two book credits a month, and you're going to love it. Audible.com/twit2. We thank them so much for their support of This Week in Tech. We couldn't do it without you guys at Audible.
This is interesting. The Miramax story, I think this is interesting. An example of how traditional media is dealing, I guess, with all this new media. They offer two free passes to prevent piracy via Twitter. What is that all about?
Okay, that story is kind of interesting. So a girl... it's a Twitter story.
That's okay. This one, we have to have it. You have to have a drink.
Drink.
You're going to give me a pass?
Cheers.
You're going to give me a pass on this one, John? I don't know.
This one I think is acceptable.
It's an interesting story. And actually, it shows how a company can use Twitter, I think, very effectively if they know what they're doing. So the story starts with Twitter. It starts with a young lady pirating, saying, where can I find a BitTorrent of Adventureland? I'm just dying to see it. Where can I download it? And is it Miramax Films? I can't remember. I think it's Miramax Films.
This is Miramax here.
Twitters her back saying, oh, don't pirate it. Think about the people who made the movie. Don't pirate it. They don't threaten anything. They just say, oh, please don't. And she says, all right, because it's you and you asked nicely, I won't pirate it. And they then send her two passes to a movie.
So is that the new way of doing it?
I think it's very interesting.
I've been seeing that more and more on Twitter, where if you tweet some kind of product name, then they will add you right away and maybe even contact you.
Really? Let me just check.
Does this make sense, though, for a company to do this? I mean, is this crazy? These companies are giving all that weight to Twitter that you denied existed. I mean, they're acting like this
No, I never said that. I never denied it existed. When was this?
I don't know. I thought you did.
No, I'm the one who said that Britney Spears was going to come in and take over the place.
No, you did say that, and you were close. Britney almost got to 1 million.
Yeah.
But we were saying, oh, come on, it's just a fraction of the total world. It's not the real world. Why are we giving it so much weight? But yet these companies say, hey, if bad stuff happens about us on Twitter, that's something we have to deal with. Is that the right attitude?
It's seen as the tip of an iceberg. That's why they get so carried away when just a few people bitch.
But I think it's cool because it's making people, companies and people accessible. And it's
accessible
connected.
To who? To the few million people on Twitter? That's a fraction.
Well, that
is
a fraction, though. That we are saying, like, Twitter's such a huge thing. But yeah, if you look at the amount of people involved in it,
if I were
nothing compared to the rest of the world.
Don't you think real people should start to say, well, gosh, how do we get good customer service? You mean I have to go on Twitter to get good customer service?
No, that's a problem with the companies. Like, we shouldn't have to ask for good customer service. The fact is, we should be supporting companies like a Zappos that is creating that culture around their company.
Is that something you learned at Food Camp?
No, I know Tony, and I respect the
company.
Just
asking.
Zappos is an amazing story. They became an $1 billion shoe company in a commodity business.
I got a good response when I went to Comcast Cares, and I used Twitter to do it.
Frank does a great job.
Frank's a good guy. Frank,
no, I'm not. And people are saying, oh, Zappos, like, I'm paid. I'm not.
No. Zappos is a very good example of how
this works.
I just
think that's the next wave of entrepreneurship and companies and brands is in terms of creating a culture around it. And the fact is, you need to communicate, and not just through Twitter. Twitter is just one tool. And if people realize it's beyond that, then they'll see something bigger.
Here's the problem. Twitter is manageable.
Now we're off the track again. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Twitter is manageable because it's a few million people. If you have tens of millions of customers, you cannot offer that level of customer service.
But they need
service.
To realize they can do that without Twitter.
They can't.
But meaning Twitter was one tool.
I'm sorry, ladies
and Twitter
gentlemen.
Twitter is one tool. But the fact is, they're realizing they can connect.
My point.
Wait, do you see what I'm saying? Or
no.
All right. What I'm saying is that Twitter's one tool.
He's having a pure allergic reaction to the word Twitter. He's not listening to your words.
I'm trying to listen to you, but your sentence structure has fallen apart as of about 15 minutes ago.
All right. What I'm saying is that people are finally realizing that we can all connect and we can all help each other. And
who's people?
or brands and companies. So like a Miramax.
Some people.
And so they're looking at Twitter because it's like, oh, a trendy buzz thing.
Gorg says in the chat room, and I think this is exactly what he's saying in the friend feed. Yeah, these companies, if you Twitter, they'll contact you, but try to call their telephone support
lines.
But
that's what I'm saying. They need to realize that there's something about connecting, and it's beyond Twitter. It happens that now.
But here's why they do it that way. It's cheap to hire three people to monitor Twitter. It's a lot more to have telephone support lines at work. This, in a way, is underscoring the BS of Twitter, the Ashton Kutcher BS of Twitter, which is that it's somehow significant and that we're providing real customer support because we get press for our work on Twitter. It's not real customer support. They can't do real customer support. Try calling Comcast and saying, my cable's down. They don't help you. You have to go on Twitter to do it. Well, it's easy to manage Twitter because that's a few million people, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, I think one of the most important things is how much. So Ashton Kutcher, he has, you know, million over a million, but how many of these people are actual
engaging?
Yeah, they're, you know, everyone joined and they're,
it's
not.
It's all phony baloney engagement.
All right, so wait.
Oh, here we go.
All right, Ashton.
No,
Ashton Kutcher has his Facebook headquarter show, Facebook HQ, and what, it has 10,000 views, but he has a million followers. So you can have followers, but it was a question I asked this week. What's more important, quality or quantity of followers?
Well, clearly it's quality, but let me read you.
How? I disagree.
You don't think so?
No.
That's an interesting question. I mean, you know, when you're in mainstream media, it's the raw numbers. Like Seinfeld has 18 million people. Nobody asks a question about how many people are drunk, asleep, you know, fornicating. They just say there's 18 million people.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about new media like this, they very much, our advertisers very much care about who's watching. There is, and that's why we can compete with larger media outlets, because we offer a higher quality, mm-hmm. a smaller number, but a higher
You're
quality
right.
of audience.
I'm not saying, now, what you've done here with that commentary is change the subject. And I find it very amusing the way you did it, because all of a sudden you change from Twitter to talking about, you know.
I'm trying to help you, John. You're the one who doesn't want to talk about Twitter.
I'm just going to say that the Twitter audience, is the numbers probably more important than the quality of the people if you have, like.
Well, that's true, and that's what's wrong with it, is all we're saying.
Oh.
Perception,
you're saying that's
is
okay?
Reality.
No. You'd rather have a million Ashton Kutcher followers?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
You think that's more valuable?
Yeah. I'm in the mailing list business.
That's right. You've always said that.
So exactly. So would you rather be giving out CDs like AOL or actually engaging with people with a progressive?
He would.
Company?
And you know what? Yeah. He probably
like that,
is right.
And then so you're like that as like I throw it.
Yeah. You're the idealist. You go to food camp. The next thing you know, you're
so
like,
it's like in the end,
Lenin.
The people that are going to be having all these followers. Wait,
John or.
So it's like an AOL that sends out their CDs and we throw them out, or something that's
John
a
or
bit
Vladimir.
More...
I couldn't remember his first
Vladimir.
Name. It took me a while.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. We're interrupting you.
I'm just saying that.
I think your throat is parched.
Have a drink.
I didn't say that word yet.
And I know
Lisa,
these Montreal
was supposed to be
women,
the
they're all like
drink.
This. They like to drink.
Yeah, well, I just...
You're the
okay,
bitter
one. If you have a million followers,
yes.
but they're not engaging...
If they're not even on Twitter, they're just kind of there just, once and
but
they disappear.
If you tell them, okay, you know, check out my blog post, check out my photo, and they're not engaging, and you only get 1,000 people going
what
to
good
that,
is it?
What good is it?
Yeah,
but
it doesn't matter.
But
let
if me, you have a massive amount of people, like even my followers,
who,
like
who brought down Shira Lazar's website? Who brought down
my guy said that it's going back up.
Who brought it down?
You.
Ashton Kutcher? No.
No, you.
Oprah Winfrey? No. Who brought down Shira Lazar's website?
You, Leo.
Not because of the number, because I don't have a million followers, but because those 2,000 people
are actually listening to you.
Are actually paying attention.
I agree.
So get this. This is going to make John spew. Take a drink of wine while I tell you this story.
Cheers.
You want to? I'll tell you what. No. Bottoms up. Come on.
Bottoms up. Jeez, John, you're bad.
Come on.
So Ashton Kutcher's on Ustream. He's streaming. It's about 10 at night, 11 at night. He's streaming as he's trying to get to 1 million people. 2:13 a.m. Eastern time. CNN has a 998,239 followers at CNN break. Ashton Kutcher crosses 1 million. He tweets to his followers, "Victory is ours now."
Is
John,
this, like
this
the
is
Olympics
the this is the part you're going to like, John. Quote, Ashton Kutcher, your friend, Shira Lazar. This is like putting a man on the moon.
Oh, please.
This is like changing media forever.
Yeah, right.
It's the web versus the world right now, people. Can you believe this crap?
I like how he takes credit
for
being the first.
I don't blame him.
CEO of Google, Mr. Eric Schmidt, predicts Good times ahead for Android. He says he's expecting Android on netbooks, other mobile internet devices. He says we're not even pushing them to do it. They're doing it themselves. Asus is doing it. Netbooks rumored to be an EPC using Android. Android could become the first real challenger to Windows XP on these netbooks. Do any of you use a G1 phone? No. You're a black...
I do.
You do? Really? What do you think of it?
I love it.
No, you don't.
What about the battery life?
It sucks.
Terrible. Terrible.
It makes the thing unusable.
I know what's
cool? You can watch us on the G1.
Yeah.
But you can watch it. You can't watch on the
G1
iPhone.
Is
you can
the
watch
best.
On the iPhone, but you can watch on this.
I'm sorry. I'll admit I'm old school.
Well, let's see what you got here.
She's a BlackBerry. It looks like a curve. Is that a bold?
It's a world edition.
Now I've got her phone.
Oh, God, no.
See if she follows any celebrities.
Why did I give that away?
What celebrities does she follow?
She's got somebody named Casey Klingon. I guess he's a guy who's an actor.
These are my new Twitter friends, okay?
You meet him at Foo Camp? Yes, you met him at food camp.
No, this is, I should take off. For some reason, since, all right, this is weird. I don't know if there's a correlation. All right, I'm not going back to Twitter. But since all the Twitter stuff happened on Friday, I've started, like, literally, I get alerts every minute.
Oh, you should turn that off.
Turn that off.
Alerts from whom?
That's the first step.
Let's go back to the Android. Wait. So in terms of phones,
You know what I'm excited about?
Uh-oh.
And you're going to think I'm nuts.
Change the subject. You didn't let her finish her
go
sentence.
Go ahead. Please finish your sentence. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying I want to go back to that because we could go into other
conversations. Okay, never mind. Leo?
Let's go back to the Android because I think that's what people want to talk about.
I'm excited, believe it or not, about the new Sidekick. Looks really good. The 2009 Sidekick. And it has...
The Sidekick.
It has... Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Oh, my God. I had an ex-boyfriend that was totally into the Sidekick.
Yeah?
Back in the day. And he would be like... It's like that flip thing.
Yeah,
that flip thing.
It was for young people. He was probably pretty young.
What is so cool about the Sidekick now?
How old was he?
He was like in his early 20s at the
time. How old were you?
In my early 20s at the time.
Yeah.
No, but what is the big thing about the Sidekick? Why do people like it?
Well, the new Sidekick has built-in...
I never liked it. Always been a big brick.
It's kind of a clunky thing. The new one's thinner, better looking, has built-in MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter support. It's really focused on social networks.
Do you think phones are the next
look at
version...
Look Lisa.
Do you think the next...
Lisa's going wait. Like, ooh.
What happened to the iPhone? The iPhone
I'm
does
still
that.
An iPhone fan.
What...
You can't text properly or write emails properly with the iPhone. That's the problem.
You like the keyboard.
And video.
It's challenging, though.
Challenging. Well, not when I'm driving
Lisa,
in my car.
Here, okay, I'm going to give you a few reasons why you might want to look at this.
Okay.
3.2 megapixel camera. Does video.
What, the
uploads
the
it directly to YouTube. Yeah, uploads directly to YouTube. This might be a replacement for your N95.
Yeah.
It also has built-in GPS. It does pretty much.
E71 does all this
But
stuff.
I just got this one.
You just got an iPhone?
I waited for a very long time.
You mean
time.
You just got an iPhone?
Well, when Canada got them.
Oh, yeah, you got one.
Yeah, because you know what? Canada actually has some issues because the cell phone, the cost of your plans is different.
I think so, like a hair
and
trigger
really,
on this camera.
Like, they're just really not advanced with their cell phone
coverage.
Oh,
it's terrible.
And
how much do you pay for data?
Which is really ridiculous.
Lisa, you must be paying through the nose on the data on this thing.
It's bad, especially when I'm down here. I need to figure out.
Yeah.
I have everything. The Verizon plan. They used to have a North American plan. So I go to Canada, and I don't need to pay for anything. Just minutes.
Rumor has it. How do you like this? iPhone app for Hulu. Would that put you over the top?
Yes,
would that put you over? That would make you. That would make you want an iPhone.
I love that about. I came here and
you can't get Hulu in Canada.
We can't get or Pandora.
What do you mean you can't? That's ridiculous.
You can't through a proxy.
Yeah, you have to lie. Yeah, and it's too slow. Often the proxy is really making it unusable.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I love that. Whenever I come down, I'm like, ooh.
That's like MTV back in the day when I was growing up. I couldn't get any American channels, so Nickelodeon and MTV, like the two networks.
Now you had Much Music, and
but
now you have MTV Canada, which
is
god
awful.
That's
so funny but phones are obviously emulating almost cable TV that back in the day we couldn't get, like Canadian viewers couldn't get that. And so, but that's, it's so archaic to me how with the technology we can't find a way to bring that on phones to Canada, which is basically, it's all geography. It's just like borders that are separating us.
Yeah. Well, it's some.
She has 23 apps. Everyone has hundreds.
Oh, she hasn't had time. I have 10 pages.
She got the flashlight though.
You have flashlight? A flashlight
app? The flashlight.
I use that all the time.
Really?
I do. For like photos. Get up and,
really?
And for, you can do really, oh, really? Cool long exposures with it.
What's your favorite iPhone app right now? Do you have one that you use all compulsively?
Click. Click is a Flickr application, and you can view, I love looking at sort of the Explore photos, and I love looking at my contacts photos. Right now, I guess just what I've been looking at on the internet is just photography stuff.
Right.
That's what I did after the pandering.
You said, I'm going to settle down. I'm going to focus on my photography.
I'm going to focus on my photography.
And you know what you decided? It's kind of funny because you decided to take pictures of models instead of be the model.
Yes.
That gave you power?
I took the power back.
Gave you power. Yeah, now she's telling power people what mad. To do. She's power mad.
No, but I think the photographer has the power in that relationship.
This is getting
this is getting too weird. This show, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, so wait.
This
right,
is out of
phone,
control.
Because I feel like, what?
Glad
what
I didn't call in.
Hold on. Before we go on, I want to mention GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting. Yes, our fine sponsors at Citrix. Did you know the average cost of a business trip these days is $1,000? That's, you know, plane fare, hotel, meals, cabs. It really adds up. And I have to ask you this question. Do you think it's more effective? Do you think you get more done? I think that's the old way of meeting. I think the new way of meeting is eliminate the waste. Have all the meetings you want for $49 a month. $1,000, $49. And the thing is, they're just as effective because you're using GoToMeeting. Everybody with GoToMeeting. In fact, you can go there right now and try it for a month free. Go to gotomeeting.com/twit. With GoToMeeting, you set up the meeting with a click of the mouse. You can send out an invitation via email. You could say while you're on the phone with somebody, and by the way, voice over internet and teleconferencing is free with GoToMeeting. So you can be on the phone on your voice conference, say, hey, I'd like to show you this PowerPoint. I'd like to show you the drawings of the website. And you give them the meeting ID. You say, gotomeeting.com. Go to gotomeeting.com. Here's the meeting ID. They enter it. Suddenly, they're seeing your computer screen on their desktop. So they're seeing the drawing, the stuff that you would show them if you were in person, the PowerPoint. It's an award-winning service. It's completely secure. It is so effective for sales presentations, for product demos, for training sessions, collaboration. We've been using it. You know, I have several accounts now because we try it. We use it. Ray Maxwell uses it. I use it for a variety of different things. And I just find more and more ways to use it. I know you will, too. That's why the 30-day trial is so effective. Gives you a chance to really get a sense of this. And no cost to you. Go to gotomeeting.com. G-O-T-O. Go to G-O-T-O meeting.com/twit. Try it right now. I think you're going to like this. Gotomeeting.com/twit. Okay, let's see here.
The big story that people want to talk about, and I see this coming up in the chat because I'm in the chat, is the Time Warner story.
We did that.
What is she on? Is that a PR-38 or what's the number on
No, that's PR-40.
How come it's shiny?
Well, hers is newer than yours. Yours is tarnished by spittle.
No, it's no spittle.
All right,
spittle.
So no story. Not, I'm sorry.
Like he shined it
I'm
up
not gonna
or something.
To you, no,
that's a good story, but we did it last week.
Why are people still talking about it?
Because people don't listen. They think they listen to the show, but they don't. You need to listen to every single word of every single show.
Last week.
Here's what happened with Time Warner. They announced they were going to do caps.
All right.
Pretty serious caps. Yeah, remember this, 50 gigabyte caps. Yeah. And then they kind of backed off and tiered. And this is John. Go back and listen to Twit 190. John and I talk about it.
I listened to that one two or three times so far.
So it's old news, guys.
John, how's No Agenda going?
No Agenda is a great show. It's every Thursday and it's also on Sunday. And unfortunately, next week's going to be kind of confused.
Because
we got good numbers. We got about 250,000 listeners.
You're so full of it. You do not have 250,000 listeners.
We do.
If Adam is telling you that, he is lying to
you. No, we have lots.
Okay.
And so you can go to noagenda.mevio.com if you want to listen in. Or go to No Agenda Stream, which we have a really...
Yeah, he's streaming it. That's kind of interesting.
He's
like a radio show
he
thing.
Loves radio. I want to thank Elvin Trusty for sending me the University of Findlay 2009 NCAA National Championship in Men's Division II basketball. I thank you for the hoodie. It's a beauty.
So everybody wants me to bring up the dig bar for the third show in a row. I have brought this stupid story up every show for the last four shows. Let's see if we get any more interest. Dig bar, what do you think?
What is the dig bar?
It's keeping people in the site. It's not
They actually backed off. Right. They backed off a little bit on the dig bar this week.
Well, the whole thing is, and I was also asking that for a while, is that here's people within that world, the dig world, and it's like instead, the reason why everyone
Kevin apologized. He said, yeah, you're right. We did it wrong.
Did what wrong?
The dig bar.
Oh, the dig bar.
You're not even listening anymore.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Well, what do you think?
I didn't like the
whole appeal of dig was that people
were having
go,
a conversation
helped,
amongst themselves.
It helped hits to other. Well, it helped people get hits and views to their site. So if
Kevin was on this show a few weeks ago. He said we're going to do a URL shortener. I said that's a great idea. Dig should do a URL shortener. Unfortunately, when they released it, it framed sites. The way you would do it, you type dig.com/a website. Mm-hmm. So you dig.com/http://mostlylisa.com. People would get to mostlylisa.com, but it would be all of the hits would go to dig.com. It would be framed within Dig's site. Mm-hmm. So Dig was getting the site.
They were framing?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
I agree.
That everybody stopped doing that years ago.
It was very 90s. People quite rightly complained about this. Kevin realized, yeah, you know what? We shouldn't have done that. They've backed off. Now, a lot of sites did an interesting thing. In fact, I think it was Read Write Web said, here's how you block the dig bar with a couple of lines of JavaScript. That's when I think Dig realized, whoopsie, we might have gone a little too far on this. It was a blatant grab for hits.
Yeah.
It made perfect sense from a business point of view. It didn't make such a good idea. It wasn't a good idea from the internet community point of view. They have backed down now on it. And I think they did back down. Also, a follow-up on our story, John, from last week. Microsoft is going to do a company tavern after all.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Whew. Wow. That's another bullet dodged.
They need drinks there at that place.
I'm sure they have an open bar. They have medical insurance.
The last open
bar. All the Mountain Dew you can drink.
The only place right now, the really jumping place has got to be Google at the campus.
I know. That place is great.
Have you been there?
No.
Wait a minute. What podcast serves the most wine?
Well, apparently this one.
Yes, thank you.
And sushi and cheese.
Much to our detriment, I might add.
No, I think the show is improved by the wine.
I don't know.
And the heat. It's great.
The heat and the wine. You had to drink a lot.
You can tell a sweaty wine random food show.
We got a bunch of sweaty whatever.
We need to come back here when I'm like,
it's hot.
I think, I believe, it's did I not send you a note degrees. Saying that it was going to be very warm in here and dress accordingly? I believe I did send
you
that.
Well, she's dressed. She doesn't have any clothes on, barely.
I'm pretty clothes.
This is the part
she's
of the show.
Wearing a fur coat.
I'll have you know, I tried on so many different tops.
Really?
Yes, because people, it's like, oh, you're wearing the low-cut top, and then...
But you chose the low-cut top.
But yeah, I didn't... I'm wearing...
She's trying to bing it up now. It's too late. It can't stretch
no,
it.
No, she actually... Going she down. Did a, can't I was wearing a high-cut top.
Now we got the showdown between the two women.
Let's,
who's got the best top
you know
on?
End of story. Let's go to a story.
I decided
Let's
to wear to my Ralph story. Lauren shirt.
I'm wearing a yellow shirt.
This is something you don't see a lot of. It's a button-down collar on a Hawaiian shirt. Ralph Lauren becoming, design. What do you think?
I think it's
I've
good.
Worn this for many years. I found
you
this
know,
to be very
I'm
attractive.
I'm going to bring up a story since we're talking about Hawaiian shirts. Leo used to work at this place called Tech TV.
I remember it.
And he used to wear... And one
People
of the
are doing the FB... People are replying to Ev. All right, guys. Sorry. Reply to Ev
I'll
Moore.
Never get the story
with
yet.
The Ev being Sheer Lazar, I'm a geek.
What are they saying?
They're saying,
do
the
it.
Ev being Sheer Lazar, I'm a geek.
But they're not doing
help,
it right?
They're going, Ev Sheer Lazar, help Shira. That's what you need to
are
do.
Are you
guys.
Shocked by the fact that people are doing this after
no.
we told them to do it?
I think I'm always shocked no matter what. I think maybe that's what creates my naivete towards... Like, I'm always
you
shocked
You have negativity
I,
toward what?
Towards
naivete.
Everything.
Naivete.
Oh, naivete.
No, I think it's great when you come into things like... You can't expect anything, but when you see people responding, that's so amazing. Like, sometimes I put out videos and I'm... It's not
oh, here's one.
She's
from,
flabbergasted.
From Ahan Rundanunel. Ahan Rundanunel. He says... Time Warner gave up because of complaints. There are no tears now. You're an ass dismissing her story. It's not old.
Thank Ooh.
You are an ass.
I'm an ass.
That is horrible what you did.
Here's another one from Craig Derling. This show is a train wreck.
He might have got that right.
Unsubbing from the podcast. This just ain't what it used to be. You haven't
People
even heard...
love train
What's
wrecks.
Funny
That's
is,
the point.
You haven't heard the podcast. You're just watching the live show.
Yeah, the podcast is going to be... You know,
We're going to cut all this
Very few people realize how much post-production Leo puts into these things. He'll
this is
spend
hysterical.
Nights.
Well, this
nights
is what's this is typical. This is the typical BS. Oh, I'll tell you a story we didn't do. And last Sunday was when it was breaking, and we came very close to doing it. And my instinct said, wait a little bit. And that's the Amazon fail story. You probably followed this. It was a big Twitter story. The hashtag was Amazon fail. Amazon, all of a sudden on Sunday, started delisting books that had gay and lesbian themes.
On right. Easter Sunday, yeah.
On Easter Sunday. Sunday. This was last week. And there was a lot of tweeting going on, a lot of anger about it going on. People felt there was couldn't possibly be a mistake. Amazon was actively discriminating against gays and lesbians. I saw this at the time, and I thought, you know, something doesn't feel right about this story. I'm not going to do it on Twitter. We haven't heard the whole thing.
The second sense.
And I'm glad I did, because I have, I mean, now, we don't exactly know what happened. Amazon says, you know what, it was a database error. This is what didn't sit right with me. Amazon probably has many gay and lesbian people working there. I'd be very shocked if they had any negative feelings toward gays and lesbians. They certainly would never, ever have a policy where they would block those.
Zero chance.
So I knew there was something wrong, that this just didn't smell right. However, a lot of people, in fact, people, maybe some people who should have known better, jumped on this story and made it a big deal. In fact, a number of people had to back down and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong on
all Twitter, this. Everyone, it was a revolt against Amazon.
But it just shows you how quickly, and this is maybe the failing of this new media, is that the stuff can, without any kind of, it's a mob mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without any
mob-ocracy.
Kind of.
Mobocracy.
So you're saying it's about engagement, not about, meaning maybe the power of the web is not as much about just fully the content, but about the conversation.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's what I was saying.
Well, there's certainly a
conversation. Is just as important as the content.
But there is this mob sense where people can go out and they can attack other people, and it becomes, now I have to think Amazon got a little pain out of this. Even, you know, how many people still believe Amazon discriminated against gays and lesbians?
Because of the bad,
because
initial,
of this Amazon,
the wave of fake news,
right? Yeah, fake news.
This is, by the way it's going to be from now on out.
Now, here's an example.
We're all doomed by this.
Here's a good counterexample: Domino's Pizza, a very big viral video of two Domino's employees it was awful. I mean, they were
spitting in the food.
They were farting on the sandwiches. I mean, it was really it was gross.
Yeah, I couldn't.
But now, what do you think of the way Domino's handled it? They immediately. I thought it was very interesting. Robert Scoble made this point on Friendfeed, and I think he was right on. What they did is they went back to that same medium. They went to YouTube. The president of Domino's made a video that was fairly unscripted and fairly genuine, saying, this is awful. We fired those people. We have sanitized that particular Domino's. We actually closed it and sanitized the whole place so that you feel comfortable eating there. This is not how we behave. This is a very bad thing, and we want you to know we believe in the cleanliness of our food, and we do not do this. We do not endorse this. You know, I think he handled that very well.
Well, you know, the one thing I think they should have done also was sue those guys.
Well, I'm sure they're being charged with felonies.
Okay.
Which is pretty serious.
But it's cool that it takes...
There's a bunch of goofballs,
we don't want to be eating that pizza.
No, I agree with that. But there's
now,
a bunch
how
of goofballs
damage?
That go on and make these videos, and they're not thinking. Like, remember this girl that got
ridiculous.
Beat up by her friends?
Yeah, how stupid are these
But here's
people?
My point. Here's my point. Compare and contrast these two stories, where Amazon got a PR hit from this Amazon fail, did not, I think, respond as proactively and as effectively as Domino's, which could, I mean, this could have really damaged
so
Domino's.
How are brands supposed to take responsibility when this Twitter effect happens? Should they be coming out publicly or not? And like, what is the line of responsibility? And like,
I'm just interested in how you respond as a company.
Yeah. How should you respond
when this public relations agencies are having meetings 24? Well, not 24/7.
But should be the CEO or should be a PR?
No. It should always be the CEO.
I think it means more when it comes from the top.
Did you watch the Domino's response at all?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think? Was it effective to you?
It was effective. I mean, when they sort of reach out and that level.
It was very effective, surprisingly so. You know, if you had asked me after the first video, I thought Domino's can't recover from this. Remember the, you know, there's always those rats in the McDonald's food and stuff. And that stuff lives forever, these urban legends.
You see the one that's floating around about the Australian McDonald's, the dirty place filled with paper and dirt?
The thing is, I
sent it to you. Because
Dvorak Uncensored.
Dvorak.org/blog.
It establishes like what you expect from the place. So you're like, okay, this is not a high quality place.
But it gets in your mind.
Your local one. So you still go there. I mean, did it
really? Really? I don't know.
Did it hit McDonald's
sales? I'll tell you, like, when I first became aware of this, my kids, I'm riding in the car with four 14-year-old boys, and they're talking about this, and they're saying, well, we're not going to, let's order pizza tonight, not Domino's.
I would not order Domino's pizza for the reason that I don't like the pizza.
They order it every night. It's cardboard, I know, but they order it every night.
Can I say something? I hope people start choosing their local places to go. Not as much corporate, but
Well, I agree with you. I think it's a shame. I'm with you on that.
And places that create their food.
I agree. They make it locally.
Or get it sustainable. Miles radius outside their city. I mean, that's, I think, the new wave of looking at it. And there's actually, there's a sites that you can go to which can find the food in the restaurants that get food in your area.
Yeah.
So I think that's the next place where we're going.
Anyway, I just thought that was a very, I mean, what Amazon did, I thought was, or not Amazon. Oh, yeah, I think Amazon did not handle it as well as they could have.
Yeah, but, you know, Amazon doesn't have a CEO that's as presentable as the guy from Domino's. I mean, I think Bezos is
a minute,
genius.
Bezos could come
on.
Yeah,
but if he laughs or something, it's over.
Well, just tell him, Jeff, you can't laugh. This is serious. I don't think that's a problem. I think Jeff Bezos should have.
No, he probably should have.
He should have done a video or something. He should have come forward. He said, let me tell you something.
He's not.
We do not discriminate against gays and lesbians. We believe firmly in free speech at this company. We would never do this intentionally. This was a programming error. We are very sorry. We'll never do it again. That would have been very effective.
He did not do that.
The thing is, sometimes things like that happen. And as long as CEOs come out and are transparent, are sincere, it's okay.
No, I'm with you.
It's okay.
And I think Domino's is the example of how you do it, and I think Amazon might be an example of how you don't do it. These things live
forever.
I don't
think you're really going to hurt Amazon at all.
Maybe not. No. I mean, Amazon maybe not as vulnerable, but Domino's would be vulnerable.
It gets their name out there more, and so people see it on Twitter, the latest trends, Amazon, they go do it. I mean, in the end, it helps, but you just need to take responsibility for everything.
Tech Illuminati had to stop listening to Twit. Unlistenable, unsubbed. I seek tech news. Twit doesn't have
See,
that.
This is
Sorry.
What I've been saying, by the way, to you listeners out there.
Michael
I've been saying
Graham
this when
says,
I have the show from 2 years ago.
Shut up.
Was all news.
You're such a liar. Michael Graham says, I think Laporte and Dvorak are intoxicated, and it's hilarious.
Oh, please.
Oh, God.
You don't know what intoxicated is.
Oh, and by the way, A. Harandal, the guy I was talking, said, I'm sorry I seem mean, but thanks for the mention.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
It really comes down to that.
Yeah,
it
that's
really
what commenters all are all about.
Twit has gone off the rails tonight, says Ben Sanders. But I
Ben. Ben's a good man.
But I
We're
like
just
it.
Being real. It was like if you were at, we were at a dinner and having a
That's the problem. This is like being
that's
at
exactly.
a dinner.
Exactly. It wasn't a broadcast. It was dinner.
It was dinner with nothing but, you know, with
but
wine and cheese.
Dinner.
We didn't even have a main course.
Yeah.
Lisa Bettany is mostly Lisa, mostlylisa.com. She's a great photographer and a wonderful person. I'm so glad we saw you. I'm sorry that you had to come up here on such a hot day.
It's nice, though.
Well,
she actually looks wet
it.
Now. She's just sweaty.
No. She's glowing. Horses sweat, John. Men perspire, but women.
I was the cop of the show today.
Simply glow.
Telling you off.
Good job.
You arrested everyone.
Good job. Shira Lazar is at ShiraLazar.com.
Oh, it's cold in here.
She's freezing. That's why she's got the wool hat on. You can find, soon we're going to see the I Am a Geek video coming in a couple of weeks.
May 11th, around then. But
Can't
we'll all
wait.
Be tweeting it out.
And I'll be in it. And a lot of great people will be in it.
Go to ShiraLazar.com, Twitter.com/ShiraLazar.
Twitter.com/mostlylisa, because Ev gave you back your name.
They did.
Yay.
Yay, Twitter. Oh.
Do you say Twitter?
Oh, I love that.
I only got like 100 more followers, and I.
You thought you'd get more.
It's the only reason I come on the show.
You thought you'd get more.
Just to get more Twitter followers.
John C. Dvorak, I'm not going home if she is at channeldvorak.com. He also looks great in a Mountie hat.
I think I should become a Mountie now.
Is that a Mountie hat?
There's a lot of Mountie jokes we can do.
That might
do,
be a Forest Ranger hat.
It looks like a forest.
Lady, Indians ride bareback.
Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo.
Yeah, the Indians ride bareback.
ChannelDvorak.com.
Yeah,
no
check
agenda.
Me out at No Agenda.
CrankyGeeks.
Because you're riding some horses later today.
And I'll be riding horses later.
But not bareback.
No.
Only Indians do that. I hope this is not more than a half-hour show for you, those of you listening at home. If it is, I apologize.
Because he's cut most of it out, and he's just put in all ads.
It's all ads and a few stories. We thank you so much. I promise we'll get back on the shark and ride it into the sunset next week. Another twit.
This is amazing.
He's in the can.